From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. The Olympic torch has finally made it to the Chinese capital of Beijing, where thousands have gathered to watch the ceremonial parade. More than 800 people will carry the torch over 3 days on the final leg of a controversial global journey. NPR's Tom Goldman reports.
The Beijing leg of the relay started in a big way. 7-foot-5-inch Chinese basketball star Yao Ming carried the torch through famous Tiananmen Gate under the portrait of Chairman Mao. From there, a string of waving torchbearers surrounded by security guards carried the flame through the streets. Each person ran a short distance before handing off to the next. As one Western man handed off to a Chinese man, the two kissed on the lips, a show of public affection and enthusiasm rare in China. The happy scene was in stark contrast to earlier legs of the relay, marred by protests against the Chinese government. Away from today's parade, there were some incidents. Several demonstrators displayed pro-Tibet banners outside the Olympic National Stadium. An Olympic spokesman said the protesters were led away, but not arrested or taken to a police station. Tom Goldman, NPR News, Beijing.
President Bush will be in China later today as part of his Asian tour. Earlier in South Korea, Mr. Bush tried to answer critics of his plans to attend the Olympic Games. He said it's a mistake for China not to allow its people to express their opinions freely and worship as they choose.
As I said many times, I don't need the Olympics as an opportunity to express my views about religious freedom since I have been doing it since I've been the president.
The FBI is preparing to release the evidence it has on Army researcher Bruce Ivins, who killed himself before he could be charged in the deadly anthrax mailings of 2001. Court documents could be unsealed today. Victims and their survivors are also expected to be briefed at FBI headquarters. Meanwhile, a sorority has confirmed that it had been helping the FBI with the investigation. The letters were sent from a mailbox down the street from the sorority's offices in Princeton, New Jersey. NPR's Dina Temple-Raston has more.
Bits and pieces of the case the FBI has built against former Army scientist Bruce Ivins are starting to surface, including an unusual fixation he might have had on Kappa Kappa Gamma. The sorority's statement said that it has been helping the FBI link members with Ivins going back more than 30 years. The statement comes as the government prepares to reveal at least some of the evidence it has gathered against Ivins. NPR has learned the FBI will stop short of actually closing the case. Instead, they will say they are moving towards closing it while they pursue new leads. NPR has also learned that FBI Director Robert Mueller will likely brief the victims of the anthrax attacks personally. What both the public and victims alike are waiting for is a look at the evidence the FBI has gathered to prove that they got their man. Dina Temple-Raston, NPR News, Washington.
The price of oil is holding above $119 a barrel in overseas trading. This is NPR. The Food and Drug Administration has approved new vaccines for the coming flu season. They'll be made by 6 different drug companies. NPR's Richard Knox reports.
Having a half dozen different flu vaccines should avoid the problem that occurred in 2004 when the nation's entire supply depended on just 2 companies. Regulators shut down one plant because of contamination problems that resulted in a severe vaccine shortage. This year's vaccine is different in another way. It's completely new. Experts decided to replace all 3 of the virus strains in the vaccine. Usually 1 or 2 are swapped out. During last winter's flu season, new strains emerged. As a consequence, last year's flu vaccine was only about 50% effective. The FDA hopes this year's will be better. Richard Knox, NPR News.
A coup seems to be in progress in the West African nation of Mauritania. A presidential spokesman says guards have detained the nation's president. They've also reportedly surrounded a key state building in the capital after the president today replaced senior army officers during a political crisis. The civilian government was elected in 2007 after the military stepped down following its coup 2 years earlier. Today is the 1-year anniversary of the Crandall Canyon mine collapse in Utah. 6 people died in the initial collapse. 3 others later died in a rescue attempt. Family members plan to mark the day by dedicating a circle of 9 tombstones commissioned by mine owner Bob Murray. Another memorial is to be dedicated in the nearby town of Huntington next month. Both the mining company and federal regulators have been faulted for their parts in the disaster. I'm Giles Snyder, and you're listening to NPR News from Washington.